Please stand for the gospel. Sermon is based on these words from Luke 16. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the riches of wisdom and knowledge. Do you think the rich man's clothing had labels on it? "Wash only with like colors. Do not iron, hang dry." If you've ever thrown a load of whites into your washing machine and pulled out a load of pinks, or if you've ever thrown a shirt into the dryer and pulled it out three sizes smaller, you know just how important it is to look at and pay attention to those warning labels on your clothing. Do you think that rich man's fancy foods had warning labels on them too? "High in cholesterol, high in sodium, this product contains wheat," or "contains peanuts." If you've ever had an allergic reaction, or if you're trying to manage heart issues, you know just how important it is to pay attention to those warning labels on your food. Yet whether or not the rich man had warning labels on his threads or his cuisines, the Lord Jesus is putting a warning label on his living for luxury today. Luke chapter 16, we could think of as a money sandwich. The first part of Luke 16, Jesus tells a parable of the shrewd manager, encouraging us to use worldly wealth for heavenly purposes. And then the second part of chapter 16, he warns us against the biggest pleasure pitfall possible. And in between, he talks to people who love money. So with this money sandwich in Luke chapter 16, Jesus gives us so much food for thought about our relationship with riches. Today, he warns you and me about wealth. First, we'll hear about the cost. And second, we'll hear about Jesus' comfort. So Jesus introduces us to this rich man by saying, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day." It might sound kind of strange that he was dressed in purple every day when around here people prefer to dress in green and gold. But back then, purple was actually a costly commodity for clothing, much like fur or cashmere or silk is for us in our day and age. This rich man, he knew all about balls and banquets, parties with prominent people in attendance. That rich man lived an eat, drink, and be merry lifestyle. But he was so busy with his festivities that he pretty much overlooked this beggar who was living at his gate. The beggar named Lazarus, with all of his sores and wounds, his hunger pains, longing for the food that fell from the rich man's table, those mangy mutts, those dirty dogs from the streets would come and lick Lazarus' wounds, offering him some relief, way more relief than the rich man, who had access to the finest health care and medicine and food that money could buy in his day. How many times do you think the rich man almost tripped over Lazarus or walked around him, and then after time, didn't even notice him at all? That rich man, Jesus is warning us not about having riches. There's nothing wrong with being rich, but what Jesus is warning against here is what that rich man did with them. He was so wrapped up in fashion. He was so consumed by his fine dining. He was so enchanted with his different parties that he gave no thought to just how much it would cost him. Well, the time came when that rich man died and he was buried. We can kind of imagine a very fancy and fine funeral ceremony with his five brothers in attendance and all kind of other famous people as well. You can imagine that rich man being placed into a tomb, whitewashed and beautiful on the outside. But when that rich man died, he felt agony, anguish, pain, and torment because he found himself in hell. Do you think that rich man longed to have dogs licking his skin like Lazarus did on earth? As the flames licked away at his skin in hell? As he was writhing in pain from third-degree burns, do you think he wished just for one moment that he could have what Lazarus had back on earth with his sores and his wounds? Do you think as that rich man's tongue got drier and drier in the intense heat of hell, he wished that he could face the simple hunger pains that Lazarus had outside of his gate? During his life on earth, that rich man, he was rich in pleasure, but now he had pain in full measure, in abundance, in hell. So much so that he longed for just a drop of water on his tongue to experience reprieve for just one split second. How much did his living for luxury cost him? It cost him infinitely. For all of eternity. Because once a person is dead and condemned, there's no second chance. There's no another opportunity. There's no being purified in hell and for another shot at the pearly gates. Once you're in hell, that's permanent. Jesus wanted to impress that on those who were listening that day. But what else it cost him was his connection to Abraham. The Pharisees, who loved money, were listening to Jesus speak that day. They were so proud of being children, sons of Abraham, but they thought that being a child of Abraham was just about having Abraham's blood running through your veins, the mark of Abraham's covenant on your body, and wealth like Abraham's in your pockets. Yet Jesus told them that living for luxury separates you from Abraham too. Those Pharisees sneered and snickered and scoffed at Jesus' warnings about wealth. But how about you and me today? Today Jesus is speaking to the Pharisee inside of you and me and warning us about wealth. How much attention do we pay to our Packer parties and our potlucks, our pea coats and our purses, our plaid and our polos, when we have neighbors in need all around us? How much time do we spend planning the purchase of more athletic gear or outdoor equipment or our 20th pair of shoes when there are people who don't know where their next meal is coming from? When was the last time you considered how much money you spend on your specialty drinks, whether that's coffee or alcohol related, and how much money you spend on dining out, when you haven't considered what charity you might be involved in? How many people are there within the gates of our community who are suffering from hunger or homelessness or health issues, yet we don't even know because we haven't bothered to get to know them? How often do we go from day to day without giving any thought whatsoever to how that day will affect our eternity? Read Jesus' warning label here. Living for earthly pleasure will lead to eternal pain. Going all in on luxury in this life will lead to agony in the next life. Getting too wrapped up in fashion here will end up you being enveloped in flames. Watch out. Beware. Notice how great the cost is living for luxury. Jesus himself knew how great the cost was. And that's why Jesus so openly talks about hell and pain and fire and torment with us today. Because Jesus wants us to know that hell is real. And Jesus didn't want the Pharisees to end up in hell. He doesn't want you and me to end up in hell. He doesn't want anyone to end up there. Jesus wants you and me to appreciate just how much it cost him for us. Because on Good Friday, it wasn't just bruises and torn flesh that Jesus suffered. He suffered the searing pain of God's wrath flaring up at him. There on the cross, Jesus knew unquenchable thirst, unreasonable rejection, and unthinkable torment. There, at that place of the skull, Jesus was isolated. He experienced the ultimate separation. He was abandoned by the Father in our place. Jesus took all the torment that you and I deserved for the times we worshiped wealth or neglected those who were in need. Jesus did all of this for you and me because he wanted us to know how much it cost him, but he also wants us to remember how much comfort it brings to us. That's how Jesus described Lazarus' situation there in heaven. No matter how much pain he experienced on earth, he was comforted in heaven. No more sores, no more wounds. After his flesh had been destroyed, yet in his flesh he would see God with his own eyes, Lazarus and not another. How his heart must have yearned within him as he was there on earth. No more daydreaming about the food that fell from the rich man's table, because there Lazarus had a place at the heavenly feast. Never again would he hunger. Never again would he thirst. No more being carried around from gate to gate by people here in this world. Instead, Lazarus was carried by angels to Abraham's side, there next to another heart who received the Lord's promises of wealth and land and life and blessing, all by faith. The riches of heaven were now Lazarus. Lazarus did not go to heaven because he was poor in this world or because of the pain he suffered in this world. It's interesting to note that while Jesus doesn't reveal the rich man's name, he does tell us the beggar's name, Lazarus. Lazarus is actually a form of the name Eliezer. The Lord is my help. Lazarus went to heaven because he looked to the Lord as his help and as his comfort. The same place that you and I look to, the Lord Jesus, there in heaven, there next to Jesus, there at Abraham's side, you and I too will experience that same comfort that Lazarus experienced. Maybe our suffering here in this world is similar to Lazarus. Probably not quite to his degree, but similar. Do you suffer with chronic pain or limited mobility? Or a health issue that just won't seem to go away? Do you struggle like Lazarus probably struggled with feeling useless? I can't do as much as I used to be able to do. Or feeling like a burden on other people? Or do you think Lazarus ever struggled with feelings of anger toward God? Why do you let me have so many problems when other people around me seem to be so carefree? What do you suffer from here? Even if your suffering here is different than Lazarus, you will know the same comfort there in heaven with Jesus. Because God will send the same angels that he sent to protect you, to watch over you, to guard you in all of your ways here, to carry you home, to wing you home to heaven. What comfort. Did you notice as Pastor Miller read the gospel lesson earlier, Jesus seems to describe hell in so much more detail than he describes heaven? He talked about all of the agony and the pain and the torment in hell and the fire, but just one word, comfort for heaven. Do you wish, what's heaven going to be like? I want to know more about what Lazarus saw and what he felt and what he experienced there in heaven. Well, there is one other thing that we could consider, the chasm. That huge gap between heaven and earth that nothing could bridge, no rocket could shoot you across. That means that when Jesus brings you to heaven, you're perfectly secure and safe there. No one can raid heaven and bring danger or disaster or death to you. No one can invade heaven and bring sin or suffering or temptation to you anymore. No one can pull you out of heaven once you're there because you're safe and secure. What a comfort. And Jesus offers even more comfort in that issue raised between the rich man and Lazarus, those family members back on earth, his five brothers. You and I all know that struggle, don't we? We each have family members or loved ones who are headed the wrong way in life. Maybe they realize it, maybe they don't realize it, but they're headed for hell. And that concerns us. We care about them. We love those people. We don't want them to end up in hell. What can we do about that? Well, Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Moses and the prophets was Jesus' way of referring to the scriptures. Moses and the prophets were the Old Testament scriptures that were written down already by the time Jesus went around in his ministry here on earth. But it wasn't until the next several decades that Jesus' apostles would write down his teaching, completing the scriptures. It's those scriptures that present death and life, hell and heaven, sin and salvation so fully. Those scriptures are true and reliable. There's no fantasy, no fiction in those scriptures. Those scriptures are clear. They show plainly the way to the Father, the way to eternal life in heaven through Jesus. Those scriptures are also sufficient. It's enough. We don't need any more miracles or any more revelations to finish out, to round out scripture. Those scriptures are also powerful. Powerful to call back the most calloused and closed-off hearts there may be. So take comfort in those scriptures. When family members or loved ones cause concern for you, share the scriptures with them. Speak the scriptures with them. Bring the scriptures to them and take comfort that those scriptures are going to work just how God intends them to work. So how are you at following warning labels? Whether you read those food labels or disregard them, whether you pay attention to the labels on your clothing or not, this warning that Jesus offers today is one that we all want to follow. We want to take this to heart, to keep it in mind, to live our lives in line with it. This is such an important warning. Don't find all your pleasure in worldly wealth. Find your pleasure in God's word. Because it's in that word that God shows us he's the source of our wealth. And he's the one we want to glorify with our wealth. It's in that word that God reveals to us that he's forgiven us for worshiping wealth. And that he gives us a reason to be generous with others around us. It's in that word that God has shown us the cost of living for luxury, but also the comfort that we have in the heaven that Jesus is preparing for us right now. That word is so precious to us. It's priceless to us. It's our pleasure. And so when Jesus warns us about wealth in that word, we listen. Amen. Please stand.